How do you hand gesture balloon? This is.
How do you hand gesture balloon? Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where today is not being very nice to me specifically.
Mood.
Eh.
Yeah. It's gonna get better. We're gonna make it better.
Ugh.
I'm Mandy of the White Lotus.
And I'm Karen from Fire Island. Welcome to the podcast,
Welcome.
friends. Oh my
What
goodness,
a day. What a
what a day.
time.
In our timeline, it is May 15th, and in y'all's timeline, it is May 23rd. Time is
Wow.
flying. We're halfway through the month.
We're getting really close to a little summer break.
Hopefully it will actually be a nice break. I don't know.
Yes.
My kid might not allow that. We'll see how it goes.
Put her in the trash.
At this point, maybe just throw the whole kid out.
We like to say, we'll say it to the twins and we'll say it to our dogs. Like, if you don't stop, I'm going to sell you to a blank family.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a French family. Sometimes it's a Chinese family. Sometimes it's a Ukrainian. I don't know. Like, whatever country we think of at the time, you're going to a Canadian family.
Mood.
And
No,
now, though, the
Canada would
state of
be a
things, they're
nice.
like, yeah, send me
That
with a nice Canadian family. I'll
would
go
be
with the
nice.
French.
Okay,
Yeah, come
thanks.
on,
Bye. No
please.
longer a threat.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. This week in Fangirly, what'd you do, Mandy?
I tried not to die of the plague.
Again, lots of fun.
Yeah. I had this red, swollen, sore throat for days. I got up Saturday and I did not sleep at all because my throat was so sore and swollen. I get up and go to the med stop because my doctor's office was like closing. And the dude, the doctor, is like, your throat's not really that red. I don't really see any redness. He gave me a steroid and then told me to go home. And so the last time this same med stop did that, I took the steroids for the week, whatever, 6 days. The day I stopped it, I got a fever and everything came back worse. So Monday morning, I called my doctor's office because I thought I was dying. Truly, I could not breathe. I was hacking up my lungs, congested, drainage everywhere, awful. Got an appointment with my doctor's NP who gave me an antibiotic shot and she made me come alive again. Even if I still feel bad, all of that is to say I was in a vegetative state. All like I started at a new job this week, so like I was on for work other than going to a doctor's appointment.
Right.
When I was off work, I was in a vegetative state. Tonight is the first night I've cooked in a week. Josh has DoorDashed literally every night this week. We got our new comfy couch. We did not leave that couch.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So we binged through all of the White Lotus. So it's meant to represent like the Four Seasons, like really fancy, nice hotels, and they're actually filmed in several Four Seasons locations. So season one takes place in Maui, season two takes place in Italy, season three takes place in Thailand. And each season starts with a death. Either there's a dead body found, or someone is in shock and like, I can't believe this just happened, or there's gunshots going off. Something like devastating happens at the very beginning of each season, and then it flashes back. It doesn't tell you who, doesn't tell you what, doesn't tell you why. It'll just show you like a leg floating in the water, and you're like, oh my God. Then it flashes back to 1 week ago when the cast of this season arrived to the White Lotus for their week-long vacation. And it's a resort, very fancy resort and spa. It's very much a whodunit, who is it murder mystery, where pretty much everyone is terrible because they're all like uber wealthy in their own way. Like they're all terrible in their own ways, but they're all like you expect it because they're so like elite rich. Like it's hard to feel bad for them. Like you need your problems. Ugh. You have problems. I think my favorite season so far is season two. It took place in Italy, so it was beautiful. I mean, Maui and Thailand are beautiful too, okay? Obviously. But it also had Aubrey Plaza and Theo James, and I am simply just a girl.
Valid, so valid. So
I'm
valid.
just a girl. So yeah, it's very addictive. Very, very addictive. Like I binged through three seasons and I think we were done by Monday and we started it Friday night. We watched Mockingjay parts one and two to pick our binge back up. We've talked enough about it that like you guys know what happens in Mockingjay, but we watched them. Josh did ask me why I hate Gil so much, so I am working on my dissertation now. To double, triple, quadruple down on why we hate Gale, why Gale is a red flag, why he sucks. And then later on in the movies, he was like, okay. And I'm like, but Gale is even worse. He's even worse.
If that was even possible, who knew?
Yeah. And then he started Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes because I thought he watched it with me. He had never seen it. So I guess he bought it for me. And then while I watched it, I watched about half of it. And then it got really late for me. It was a work night. And so I went to bed. I haven't quite finished yet, but I've been reading, listening through Shield of Sparrows today when I went to get groceries because holding a book in front of my face and reading it, not this week. I'm so congested that my sinuses are like, if you even think for a second, you're not even going to read a menu. We will leave. So just as it's by Devney Perry, just a quick rundown. We have Odessa. She's the princess, and her sister is supposed to marry this prince from another kingdom. It's part of an arrangement called the Shield of Sparrows, where it's like military alliances to keep the peace. It was destined by the gods. They show up early, they kill a bunch of monsters for her country, and then they say, actually, we don't want him to marry her. He's going to marry this one, the main character, Odessa, instead. It turns her family upside down because her sister has been trained from birth that she's going to be the sparrow, and Odessa has kind of been ignored. So that night after she's married, her dad spends the night with her, telling her all, not all, very little about what he wants out of this alliance, and basically trying to convince her that she has to find a way for him to get into their capital city. And from what Odessa knows, if you try to break the Shield of Sparrows, you die. If she were to kill her husband, she would die, and he would, like, everybody, it's death. It's death.
Lots of
Trying to
death.
threaten the Shield of
A death for
Sparrows
you
is
and a death for
death.
you.
Yes.
Death for everybody.
Yeah. So she goes off with her new husband and this super hot warrior dude that's called the Guardian, name redacted. And yeah, it's really good. It's just been, I've been dying all week, so I haven't been reading much, but I read a
Valid.
lot. I listened to a lot today.
Valid.
And that was my week. I coughed. The coughs, the
It
time I spent coughing, you guys would just notes upon notes about coughing.
Valid. Valid.
What did you do this week?
I read Six Times We Almost Kissed and One Time We Did by Tess Sharp. You have Penny and Tate who don't have the best relationship, but they've been in each other's lives for literally ever because their moms are best friends. And I forget which one, but one of their moms is sick and needs a transplant. And they finally tested, and the other one's mom is a match. So now they're like, okay, we're gonna do this without any input from the kids, right? So Penny and Whichever one of them's mom is being saved is really excited, and the other one was like, "What if I lose my mom?"
Yeah.
Because neither of the dads are in the picture. I think one passed away, and then one has just never been around. And so, in order, and so they live in this, like, I think it's a small town, but they have to go to San Sacramento in order for the transplant and all of that. Like, they have to go to the big hospital. And so, obviously they're incurring hospital stay, incurring like a hotel cost to stay near the hospital, all of these costs. And so in an effort to save money, Penny and Tate's moms are like, "We're all gonna move in here and live together," because they're moving into one of the grandma's like property. So it's like a big
Yeah.
house with property, and so there's space for all of them. And they don't have to like live in this shitty apartment and pay rent on that when they have the space that is free, paid
Big, yeah,
off,
I'm free. How old are they?
they're teens.
Okay. I didn't
Yeah.
know if it was like YA or are
It's
they
YA. Yeah.
adults?
So they're
Okay.
teenagers. And so, and they've always just butted heads. They've never really been friendly. They just kind of exist in the same orbit because their moms are best friends. And so the story kind of chronicles, as the title says, six times where they almost kiss.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sapphic yearning. And there's this like this one incident that happened in their past. And they're like, they create this truce, right? Because they want to keep it stress-free for their moms during surgery and all of this. And the one underline three times rule is we don't talk about this, because if they talk about it, then lots of the stuff will come out.
Yeah.
And it's so like deliciously slow burn, yearny, like clearly y'all are like even their friends are like maneuvering to get them to like be together. Like they're like, clearly you guys actually are in love with each other, and it's been years and
Obviously.
y'all aren't doing anything. And it's really cute. I do know that this is the first Tess Sharp book I've read, but I do know this is not her like norm. She's not a rom-com writer.
Yeah.
She's more like YA thriller. But it's so good. And I've met Tesha. I've seen her like on a panel, and she is so funny. And it like absolutely comes through in this book, and I adored it. And yeah. So that's that. And the
Okay.
title is just six times we almost kissed and one time we did. It's like, tell me more. Then I finished A Tribute of Fire by Soraya Wilson, which we talked about last week. And I reread The Last Blood Carver by Vanessa Lay. So this is that book that I read, was it last year? I think it was last year. I finished it right before Pub Day because I had an ARC, and then I was really, really mad because the sequel did not come out for literally 1 year after, and I was like, and so I was like, let me reread this because it's been a year, and so that I could
Yeah.
read the sequel, which I
Doesn't
will.
seem like it's been a year.
It's, yeah, I know, right? But it
That's
has.
crazy.
It's wild. Time fucking flies.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've talked about this book on the podcast in the past, so you can go back to that episode and listen to it if you want the details. I also finished Finders Keepers by Sarah Adler, which I have also talked about in a previous episode, so you can find that there as well. And then I started Shield of Sparrows by Daphne Perry. I got 80% in, and then I violently ripped my headphones off to make the book stop because I have two triggers that, if I'm not prepared for them, will debilitate me. And one of them is graphic child death. So there is a point, it's not an important, I mean, it's a child. It's not like a main character. It's not somebody that you're invested with. It's just a child that is there. And it's in chapter 49. It's at the end of chapter 49, and it's quite violent. It's quite graphic. It's very quick, but unexpected. So, yeah, I had to stop. So anybody who needed that, and I was listening to the audiobook, which doesn't read out the author's note content warnings.
Oh no.
But also, I grabbed my physical copy and it is not listed among the content warnings.
It just says people, I
Yeah,
think.
it says death of humans and animals. So just FYI, if you're reading Shield of Sparrows and graphic child death is a trigger for you, chapter 49 will be burned into my memory.
I'm sorry. I wish I had beaten you to it. I would have told you. But getting sick derailed me.
Yeah, well, it's not, it's not your responsibility.
Well, I mean, I try. Like, if I had gotten to, it's like
If
with
you had
Thunderbolts,
gotten
I saw it first and I was like, hold on, hold on, hold
well,
on. There's a moment
we're
you're not gonna like.
I did, and I did not like. To clarify, it is distressing. The moment she's talking about in the Thunderbolt is distressing, but it is okay without
And
spoilers.
I the way that I described it to Karen without making it a spoiler
Right.
is or spoiling the scene is when what's
David Harbour, Red
David
Guardian.
Harbour, Red Guardian
The Thunderbolts,
steps,
yeah, are
they're
like,
in the
they're in
city
the city, they're in a group. David Harbour
and he
sees
steps
something and he
away. He
steps
sees something, he
away.
steps away from the group.
And that's
That
when,
is upsetting. Look away for 30 seconds.
yeah, it's crazy because I had that in my brain as I was watching, and I still was like, wait, it's coming. Is it coming? It's coming. Is he separating? Are they together? What's happening? And it's still jarring. Like I like audibly gasped, like sobbed. But again, without spoiling, it's fine.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Your heart will be fine at the
It's
end of the movie.
very jarring. It's yeah, it's
I know,
like
as soon as I saw it, my heart fell through my butt. I was like, I have to tell her about this. But how do I tell her?
Right.
And then when it got to the end of the movie, I was like, I need her to know it's gonna be
It's gonna be
fine.
fine. It's gonna be fine.
Like, how do I do
But
this?
yeah, so yeah. Also, watch the Thunderbolts, obviously.
Watch the Thunderbolts for sure.
Which was excellent. I loved it. Angie texted me and she's like, after watching the Thunderbolts, I now understand Florence Pugh. And I'm like, I've been in love with her for forever. What's taken you so long? Like, where have you been? And she's like, I'm
Oh
sorry.
my
I was like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
God. You're like, I'm confused. If anything, this is curious.
Her excuse was, I'm not usually into blondes. And I'm like, you know what? It's Florence Pugh.
Yeah, exactly. Oh
Anyways,
my gosh.
and then to wrap it up, I read On Fire Island as well as Seven Summer Weekends, both by Jane L. Rosen. They are, it's like a series of standalones. It's a trilogy of standalones. The third book being Songs of Summer, which we will talk about shortly. So it's obviously set on Fire Island. So the first book, On Fire Island, is so unique. I did not real like I went into it completely blind, other than knowing that it was the first book in this trilogy. And so I went into, I generally go into books pretty blind because if I read the blurb and I'm not feeling it, I'm not gonna read it. I'm just gonna set it down. And that just seems mean. So I'm just gonna dive right in. So On Fire Island is told in first person POV from the point of view of Julia. However, Julia is dead. So yeah, and so it's Julia watching like her friends and family in the aftermath of her death, and kind of waiting for the moment when she's like, okay, it's time for me to move on.
Yeah, now I can go.
And so Julia's husband, Ben, is the sweetest man. Clearly so in love with her. Was not ready for her to pass, even though they knew it was coming. She had cancer. But she was young. She was like our age. She was like 37, 38. So like young. And so the whole book is told from her POV, and you see her kind of follow various people around on this like one last summer for her on Fire Island, because that's where Ben has gone. That's where they spent like their summers. That's where their found family is. And that's where Ben is choosing to kind of sit with his grief. And so Ben and Julia had bought this house from Shep Silver years ago. Shep has decided that it's still technically his house, even though he has a house like across the street. Because if you ask anybody on Fire Island, like, hey, deliver this to, they don't have addresses. They're just like, deliver it to like the Silver house or deliver it to the Morse house or whatever. If you ask people to deliver it to the Morse house, are they going to know what you're talking about? And Ben's like, no. And Shep's like, but if you tell them to deliver to the Silver house, then they would deliver it to Ben's house because it's always been Shep's house. So they form like this bond during the summer because Shep's wife has also like recently-ish passed away, and they're both living in Ben's house because they don't want to be alone. And then it's just a whole like a summer of just Julia getting to watch her people like grieve, but also learn how to move, slowly start to move on, and
Oh,
it's like
heal.
heal, yeah. And it's so like, oh, I don't know how to explain it without kind of giving it away, because there's it's okay, so there's a bit of a twist to it that it's not like a like something's revealed, but just kind of the format of the book and how it's written is kind of addressed in the book. It's really interesting. And so, yeah, I don't know how to explain it without, like, I don't, it's not like spoilery. Like, it's not like a grand reveal. It's not like how, I mean, it kind of is now that I'm thinking about it a little bit. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was like such a fascinating way to write this book, and it's very weirdly meta, and I'll leave it at that. And then the next book, 7 Summer Weekends, also set on Fire Island, you have Addison, who has unfortunately just lost her job after an unfortunate Zoom incident where they were on a Zoom meeting with like their company, and her work bestie sends her a private message, and she responds to the whole group calling the CEO a nepo baby. So yeah,
Oops.
it's so bad that it makes like news headlines. There's like a page
Oh,
six article
Jesus.
about it. Yeah,
Oh, God.
it's not good. And so she is not doing great. Not doing great, obviously. But at the same time that this has happened, she gets a call from her estranged aunt's lawyers saying that her aunt left her house on Fire Island. And so now
I'll take it, I guess.
Addison's going over there. She's like, this is prime real estate. I could sell this. I could buy a house in the city, an apartment in the city. This is great. So she goes to Fire Island to see the house. She, meets with a realtor who's like, listen, here's a letter from your aunt, but let me know what you want to do with this house. It's the house has like a guest house that's rented out for most of the summer, so she has to stay there for, 7 weeks during the summer. So as she's staying in this house, and as these people are coming to stay, like her guests that are coming to stay at the house, she starts kind of falling in love with the house, and also maybe the neighbor next door who she thought was trying to sneakily steal the house from her. And he may or may not be a familiar face. Yeah. It's good.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Oh.
And I am like an hour and a half away from finishing Songs of Summer, which is the third book in the series, which as I was reading the first book and getting to the end, I was like, wait, I know who this is now. So it's,
I love
yeah.
when that happens.
They are very much interconnected, but at the same time, you absolutely could read them all as standalones and be fine. You'd be able to understand the story perfectly. It's just you get a deeper understanding of it if you read them
Yeah,
in
you get
order.
more.
The, and the, and it's not just they're not just like casual cameos, like they're all important characters in each other's stories.
Yeah.
But you don't need to read all three of them if you don't want to. But I would recommend it because they are quite excellent. I'm a
Okay.
fan. And I
Very
think
cute.
that was my week.
Well, did you have a fictional boyfriend this week?
I'm gonna go with the Guardian from Shield of Sparrows, even though I did have to pause finishing that one. He is, I mean, the moment he shows up, you're
I
like,
told you last week, yeah.
hi, hi, bestie. Hello.
Yeah. Oh, your eyes turn green when you're amused.
Really?
Oh,
You're
that's
possibly the
fascinating.
god of war? What do you
Oh,
mean?
no.
You've killed many men? What? Yeah. And as the book goes on, he just keeps getting better. So, yeah, that's what I'm gonna go with. How about you?
I have the Guardian again because I didn't do very much this week, obviously, but also I watched
I
Mockingjay,
was gonna
so
say, hold on.
Meta Mallark always,
I'm expecting a very specific name.
even though just a couple of weeks ago he was already my fictional boyfriend of the
But
week, but
always.
it's always PETA. Even when it's not, it's always
It's
PETA.
always
Like,
PETA.
it's always Erin Warner. It's always PETA.
Always.
Like
Always.
they're always, it's always Lorcan Salvatierra. It's always Hudson Vega. Like they're always in the beat of my heart. Like it's just like a little flutter.
Love, 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 love. I was about
I
to be like, if you don't say Peter Malark, I am throwing you
know.
out.
I know. Mail me to a, let me think, oh my God, now
I'm
I can't think
selling
of
you
a
to Russia.
Portuguese family. Not Russia.
I'm selling you to
Oh my
Russia.
God.
If you don't say Peter, I'm selling you to Russia. That's how
Oh my
bad.
God. I'm scared.
But you would never not say PETA, which is the
Exactly.
point. So it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. That sound means we have an intruder alert. I'm so excited. Y'all, we have Jane L. Rosen, author of, among other things, Songs of Summer. I'm so excited. Thank you for being here. So the first thing we usually ask is, can you give us like an elevator pitch for the book for anybody who hasn't heard it?
I can. It's the story of a woman named Maggie May. This is Maggie May, and she was adopted 30 years before, and she comes to Fire Island to in search of her adopted mother, who's attending a wedding there. She ends up crashing the wedding as the date of a handsome guy, and a lot of things ensue. And
Shenanigans.
it's a fun cast of characters, and the reviews have been so great, like on Goodreads, and I'm very happy at how much everyone's enjoying it. And every chapter starts with a song, and it comes with a playlist, and people have been loving that too. So
Yeah, that
far,
is
so good.
so
Obsessed. It's
cool.
so cool.
Oh my gosh. Okay, the first thing I need to know is I need you to tell me everything about Fire Island because you make it sound so dreamy that I need to be there like
Yes.
yesterday.
Right.
So what is it about Fire Island for you?
Well, for me, I met my husband there, and I think that I'm like romantic that way. I tend to romanticize places. And yes, it is wonderful, but I've definitely romanticized it a little bit. But everything I say from like On Fire Island, Seven Summer Weekends, Songs of Summer, all three books are set in the same place. And it's very, that part of the book, the location is very true. All the little idiosyncrasies and the people and the market and the beach. And I mean, it's a narrow island. I could stand outside my house and see the bay and the ocean. Not the ocean, but like the steps to the ocean and the, entrance to the bay, I would say. And it's a very small town feel. Houses don't change over very often, so you've known people for 30 years or however long I've been there. And it's a very special place. And there's no
It
cars.
feels like it.
It really
No
feels
cars.
like it.
No cars. You drive to Bayshore. You park your car at like a lot where you have, a seasonal parking pass if you're lucky, and you get on a ferry. And on the other side of the ferry, there's a wagon park, and you unlock your wagon and you put your stuff on it and you walk to your house. And
I
that's the
love the
wow.
like. I love the small town feel of it because we're so like, I feel like nowadays everything is so like big city, go, go, go. And
Walmart.
like,
Yeah,
yeah,
like
and
big
being
block
in a
stores
place
and
where
big
like
buildings.
everybody knows you, like everybody looks out for each other. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, it's actually like it's good. And then sometimes it's insane, especially when you come to New York City, because
Yeah.
where you're so anonymous. And then all of a sudden you're in this place. I have a story. My daughter would kill me, but she's probably not going to listen. Maybe she will. But there was a story she once, it's such an inappropriate story, but it's so funny. She goes to the doctor in town. There's a little doctor. And I say town, there's nothing. There's a market, a liquor store, and a flower shop, and the ferry, and this little doctor place. So she goes because she can't go to the bathroom. She's having trouble going to the bathroom. And they give her something. And like 2 days later, she's in the market, and someone comes up to her and goes, "Oh, Rachel, did you poop yet?"
Oh
Almost a stranger, like just someone from the community.
no.
Yes, it's so like,
There's
nothing.
no HIPAA. Oh
Imagine
my
there's no HIPAA.
God.
There was no HIPAA.
Oh my
It's
God.
crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
That needs to be a scene in a
Meanwhile,
book
you're like,
because
are you kidding me, Mom? I'm like, I didn't say it. Someone said to the doctor's office. I did not tell anyone of your personal issues, even though you're not going to believe me because I just told everyone that's listening to this podcast. That's what happened.
my gosh. That's
Yeah. Oh my
wild.
goodness.
Wild.
That is
That
so
kind of sums it
funny.
up.
So I want to
Yeah.
know, you mentioned the other two books. Did you set out to write like this trilogy of books when you first sat down with the idea, or how did that kind of develop?
I did not set out to write a trilogy. I wrote On Fire Island years ago as a screenplay. I was a screenwriter before I was a novelist. It was my last screenplay, and it was my very favorite story. And I wrote all the other books before it to practice being a novelist before I tackled On Fire Island. My editor said, "I love it, the idea, but it's, you write for women, and it's not a, it was about the three men. It wasn't narrated by Julia." She said, "Could you get a women's perspective?" And I couldn't think of any other way except bringing in Julia's, the dead wife's perspective. And I love how that all worked out. And then they, asked if I'd write another book set on Fire Island. And I loved the characters so much. I just felt like I'm going to do another book that's completely a standalone, but that if you were invested in the other characters, you would see them again and see how they were doing. So I did 7 summer weekends. And started with a girl getting fired and inheriting a house in Fire Island. And then again, they said, "Want to write another book on Fire Island?" I said, "Yes, I want to go back to the chef's granddaughter that was given up for adoption." So, I mean, there's just no reason why you can't just pick up Songs of Summer and read it
Yeah.
without ever having read the other two. People are reading them in every which way order. It's very fun. They're not, you could just read one, you could read all three, you could read them in any order. And yeah,
Yeah.
I
I'm
learned.
I'm yeah.
story for each person that reads it in a different way.
Yes.
Yes.
I
Yes,
was
it is.
I'm a very neurotic kind of reader where I'm like, if any books are like connected in any way, I'm like, I am reading them in publication order. I want to get it how it was intended to be read. And that's just me. So I read all three of them this week. And I was just, I like, first of all, On Fire Island, I love that it's from Julia's POV. Like, it's so beautiful the way that it's written, and it was, I felt like it was just so unique, and especially near the end when things are revealed, it's like, wait, that's really cool, like, and so meta. So I really enjoyed it, and I love revisiting this, like you said, it's a cast of characters, man, and they're all so distinct and unique, and I love that we can rejoin them. And I said this earlier, like you said, they're very much like you could just pick one up and read it as a standalone and be good, but it's cool to have like multiple where you can like, let me just dip my toes back in real
What are
quick.
they doing in this house today?
I mean, I think people are really enjoying also, like, if you read Songs of Summer and then you go back and read On Fire Island and then 7 Summer Weekends, you get like this different perspective because you kind of know everyone's okay. In Fire Island, On Fire Island, I think it's a very hopeful, uplifting book. But maybe if you were nervous about it, because the narrator is dead, then it would be best to start the direction.
For
But
sure.
I'm loving that people that just read Songs of Summer that have gotten an arc of it are like, I have to go back and read the other two now, which makes me so happy because I just love these characters. I mean, I'm so attached to Shep. I don't want to write another book because, like, how long could this man live?
Shep is so funny. He's amazing, and I'm just like, I want to hang out with him, please.
Can we be best friends?
Yes.
So I don't want to say who because I don't want to like betray a confidence, but I have to share this book with someone I know because we're tackling a lot of big feelings surrounding biological families in this book, and I know someone who has found their biological family and tried to like,
Really?
not spy, but like I know things about y'all and I'm not supposed to because of how things went down. So I know from hearing their perspective the depth of feeling that comes with those complicated emotions. And like I'm wondering how hard that was to write because it is a fun book, huh?
How did I do?
It's not me.
No, I know that.
But
You
I
know
mean,
our
yeah.
emotions.
Well, you did it really well. And that, like, I want to share it with them so that they can be like, as the person who it's,
Living,
actually
kind
lived
of,
that,
yeah.
I think that it's really going to resonate. I really do.
Wow, I can't wait to hear. You have to reach out to me. I
I
did a little
will.
research on it, and I sat with a bunch of people that were adopted and asked them a bunch of questions. It was probably the most researched thing in this book. There wasn't a ton of research in this book, but yeah, because I mean, I don't know from being adopted.
Yeah. I just wanted you to know, like that is it's special and
It's
it's not something that you see or hear about every day, but it was jarring to like, oh my gosh, I know someone like that has, I mean, obviously it wasn't like a rom-com, a romantic situation or like a it was real life, but I know someone who has someone accidentally let this slip. And then that led me to this. And then it led me to this. And now I know about these people that I'm not supposed to. So yeah, I'm going to share that with this person and then I will follow back up with you once they
Yeah, I
read it
need to
and
hear
tell
it. I need
you. Yeah.
I mean, I love that. Hearing from readers that like have a tie to one of my books like that is amazing. So
Yeah.
from On Fire Island, every week, no exaggeration, I get a note from someone saying that they lost someone and that the book helped them. And 2 summers ago, these 10 widows came to Fire Island, rented a house for the weekend, and invited me to their book club. And I was
Oh.
like, it was the sweetest thing. And I was like, oh, I'll stop by. I stayed for like 3 hours. It was one of the most satisfying,
Oh.
it just to hear that this book helped them
Yeah.
blew my mind. And
That's
that keeps happening.
incredible.
People come up to me at book signings and their lip starts quivering. And I'm like, uh-oh, like they're gonna cry. And I can't believe that I've touched people like that. It's amazing.
That must
That's
be
so
so
special.
special. Yeah.
Better than any bestseller list, even though I would love to know what that felt
I
like.
mean, I feel like you're like on the way because you got some pretty heavy hitters blurbing your
Yeah,
book.
I know they do make books. Everyone loves my, it's just a hard business, but yeah, no, I'm doing great. No complaints.
Yeah, you really are.
Yeah, no, you're killing it. And I
I
think
know. On this
it's
book, I think it's Ellen Hildebrand,
and Emily Henry.
Emily Henry, Annabel Monaghan, Carly Fortune,
Yeah,
Christy Ricci Martin, and John Searles.
look at all these names that we
Crazy. Those
like
are
just
really
know.
nice. Right, but you know the blurbs are kind of like I get asked a blurb, but you're not going to write a bad blurb. I mean, I just
That's true.
my mouth, but I mean, those quality people, of course, they would never have said those things if they weren't true, but to them. But like if someone asks you to blurb a book, you know what I say? I say I'm going to try my hardest. Because then if I really don't relate to the book, at least I don't have to lie to it,
That's true.
taking a recommendation. Because I hate to say no. I hate to be like, it's so hard to ask someone for a blurb. It's
Yeah.
torture.
Oh, I
Yeah, you feel
bet. Yeah.
so weird. You're asking them to read your whole book and then write something. It's hard. You know, as a writer, I read so few books for pleasure because I'm reading books that I'm a blurb and I'm reading books for research. You
Yeah.
know, so I really get to sink into a book that has
Yeah.
nothing to do with anything else. You know, it's hard.
For sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, you got some really good ones, and I don't
No,
think they would tell a story.
I
Yeah.
don't either.
Can you talk about your writing process a little bit? Like, did you have kind of things planned out before you started writing, or are you more of a pantser and just kind of let it flow?
I'm a combo. So I write out an outline. Like right now, I have an outline with like, they're not post-its. They're really from my old screenwriting days. They're like scene cards, kind of scene sticky notes. And I have like a wall covered with every chapter. So I know the beginning and the middle and the end for each character I'm writing about. I usually write about multiple characters. But once I have that mapped out, I don't even look at it again. It's kind of like I just have to know what's happening, and then I just fly by the seat of my pants. And I, you know, writing is funny because you surprise yourself constantly. Something happens, and you're like, oh my gosh. Like in Songs of Summer, the last song is 500 miles. It's, you know, that song. How does it go? I
Right, is
can't
it the
sing.
Highwayman? Not the Highwayman.
No.
What's it?
I'm gonna be 500 miles by the Proclaimers. You know, I
The
would.
Proclaimers.
Yes. Yeah, that
Yeah.
Irish band.
David
So,
Tennant. I always think of him when I hear that song.
that's think of who?
David Tennant.
So, I pick that song and I Google the distance between Fire Island and Chagrin Falls, Ohio, where the protagonist is from, the girl who's, and it's 500 miles.
That's insane.
It's insane. It was 498 miles, so I thought 500.
That's 500
Oh,
miles.
that's 500.
It
That's
is 500. She could live like 2 miles down the road. I didn't.
Yeah, that's
Right.
just city center to city center.
That's wild. Meant to be.
Crazy.
The
So like
universe knew.
that.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I could have planned it, I guess. I could have like, what's 500 miles from Fire Island and put her there, but I mean, it's really bizarre.
That just it. I love it. The
It's just
universe knew.
underlining that
Yeah.
this book was supposed to be read,
Yes.
and it's supposed to be exactly how
It is.
it is.
Yes.
Thanks. Woo
Okay.
woo. You know, I believe
Yeah, woo
woo.
woo. We do too.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't want to keep you. We
No.
know it's getting late, but we have a few questions that we always ask our guests
Okay.
that we want to ask you. This is where every book, movie, TV show you've ever consumed is just going to go psh, and
Have I
leave
ever read
your
a book?
brain.
What is
I
that?
don't know if I know what a movie is. We have a segment on our podcast that we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we pick a character that we really like that week. Doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Karen's had a fictional granny. I've had a fictional son. We've had fictional pets. Do you have any fictional characters from any media? It could be a movie you love, books, whatever, that you were like, that is my favorite fictional character. I love them. Everybody should know them.
I do, but it's so strange. And I don't want it to be my anything to do with me, but did you watch Mad Men?
Yeah, I
Yes.
did. I watched all of Mad Men.
Roger Sterling is like my best friend.
Really?
It's so weird. He's not even a good person. He cheats on his wife. I just, there's something about this grown man that acts like such a boy that I just get such a kick out of everything he does. And then, yeah, like I could hang out with Roger Sterling all day long.
I feel like
I
that would be
watch Mad Men.
such
I
so
mean,
amusing.
it's very bizarre that that's what came to mind, but that's what
I
came.
love it. I watched Mad Men on like a furlough from work where I couldn't work but still had a job. And I watched it for like the clothes and the set and like the ambiance because it's so well done. And by the end, I told my husband, like, it's such a good show. Everyone is terrible except for I think his name is Stan, the guy at the end who like he becomes like a
Dan's a good guy.
nudist hippie.
Yeah.
I was like,
Everyone's
everybody's
terrible.
awful.
Awful.
They are.
Awful.
But the clothes were so pretty.
I
Like the
love,
whole.
honestly, if I'm just gonna embarrass myself. I've rewatched it like four times. Like, but when I go to sleep at night, I just let it play.
I love it.
I love it.
That
I'm
is
this is
so
so
fun.
beautiful show.
I'm that
Yes.
way with
So well done. Yeah.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel too,
Yeah.
because it's the same thing, the vibe with the setting and the clothes, and it's just everything is so beautiful and so retro and love it.
Two fun facts. I saw her in a play, and I brought Nine Women, One Dress, my first book. They gave it to her at the end. She came out, and she was adorable. And do you know she's going to be Lois Lane, by the way? Did you know that?
Yes, I cannot wait.
And I went, do you know who Jean Hanf-Carlitz is? The Plot. She wrote The Undoing, a whole bunch of stuff. She is an amazing author, and she has this pop-up book group in New York. And sometimes she holds it, she brings in authors and you talk to the whole group and they're in different apartments. And she did it at Mrs. Maisel's apartment. And I went into her bedroom and took a picture. Don't tell anyone.
You're so bad, and I love you.
I know. Oh
That's
my gosh. It
incredible.
was wild. It was an apartment.
I
I mean,
love it.
eventually they changed it to a set, but when they first filmed it, it was filmed in this apartment, like all the way up Riverside Drive in Manhattan.
That's crazy.
That
That's so
is
cool.
so cool. I'm
So
so
cool.
jealous.
I'm like,
I'm so jealous.
this apartment looks so familiar, and I know I've never been here.
You're like, I know, I know. Oh my God.
Oh my hate, I do. All right, so kind of related, I guess. The other thing we always ask, we know obviously we've been talking about your book and we adore it. We love it. We're gonna tell everybody to read it. But we want to know, what are you reading and recommending, or if you have like an all-time favorite book that you want to share with people.
I just bought Friends by Frederick Bachman yesterday. I read a few pages. I'm excited. My all-time favorites are, like, I'd say The Prince of Tides is a big favorite book of mine. Anything by John Irving. I love A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. I love the book Nobody Will Tell You This But Me by Bess Kalb. I'm a fan of Joe Piazza. I love a good rom-com. I am all over the place.
All over
I
the
love it.
place.
I love it. That's exactly how I read too. I'm just like, does this
Yeah,
sound
Karen
cool?
is everywhere.
I always say, like, fantasy was my first love and romance is the beat of my heart, but like I read so widely. It's like I get whiplash sometimes. I'm like, here's a really fun rom-com, and then all of a sudden, murder. Everybody is dying. Like,
I like mysteries also, and I also love family drama. And in terms of like movies, it's bizarre. I'm like, I love mob movies. Like, I'm crazy for mob movies, and then I'm crazy for family drama movies.
I
I
feel like
love
that's a very New York of you.
probably.
I
I could recite every line from Goodfellas from start to
love
finish. So,
it. Love, love,
yeah.
love.
Okay, so last question before we let you go. We want to know what's next. You got some pretty exciting news that I don't know if it's a secret
It's
or
not a
is it like
secret. It's not. I think it's been announced. I
it's
saw it
out
on
there in
the
the world.
internet.
So
It's not a secret. It's on my Instagram.
tell the
Yes,
listeners.
Dana Rosen, follow me on my Instagram because I've been told that it's a fun Instagram. I'm going to show a picture for anyone who's looking. The big news of the week is, bum bum, that Lisa Rinna of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Melrose Place and the soap star and the beauty has optioned my book, A Shoe Story, to make it into a film. It's her
This
first
is
project.
so exciting. Her
Yes. Yeah.
first project.
Yes, her first new project in her
Oh
new
my
production.
gosh. That
Yeah.
is so
And there's
fun.
also going to be some news, I hope, soon regarding the Fire Island books. But
Oh.
that's just everybody, just cross your fingers and say little prayers.
Oh my gosh, I
And
would
we're
die.
crossing everything.
I would die. I would die. That would be yay.
I
We're big
know.
on manifesting here, so we're putting that into the
Yes.
universe. It's gonna happen.
Manifest into the
It's gonna
universe.
happen. So fun. So
Thank you,
we
Vicky.
do have to let you know a little bit of bad
Uh-oh.
news before you go.
Yeah.
Is now that you've been on the podcast, you're actually legally obligated to come back for all future book releases.
Ah,
And
of
I'm gonna
course.
expand that to like, maybe
Movie
movie
releases.
premieres, movie
Yeah.
releases.
It's been a delight. Whenever you want me to come back, I'm happy to come back. And definitely keep an eye on my Insta because maybe I'll have some big news.
Oh, I'm so
I can't wait. And
excited.
at least my daughter's getting married May 31st, so at least you'll be able to see wedding pictures.
I cannot wait for
I'm
that
yes.
too. Is she getting married on Fire Island or is she getting married
No,
somewhere
she's
else?
not. I've asked everybody to get married on Fire Island that they all want
want
That's
somebody to get
ridiculous.
married on the ferry boat.
I know, that's
Yeah.
just for them.
Like,
But I mean, if you think about the rain situation,
oh yeah, I
yeah,
guess.
that's a risk.
Yeah, it's better
Why
when you can
can't everything be like
write
a
it. Exactly. I could just write the sky was sunny that day.
If only.
Yes.
If only.
Yeah,
I feel like there's
exactly.
a story there. An author starts
The
writing
kiss just as
something
the
and
sun began to set.
oh, love it. Love it. Thank you so much, Jane, for being here. Everybody, when this episode is
Everybody.
out, go pick up Songs of Summer. If you're
It's
anything
so
like me, you
beautiful.
should also go pick up On Fire Island and 7 Summer Weekends.
Both of them
I it's
before a movie is out.
Ah,
it's
no,
we're manifesting, we're
Oh, I
crossing all
before a
things.
TV show is out. Maybe I
Whatever it is,
didn't say
whatever happens on screen, we're hoping
We'll take it.
we'll take it. But thank you, Jane, for being here. It's so much fun. These books were
Thank you
so much
so
fun.
much for having me. I cannot wait to come back. And
Yay,
have a
we
great
can't wait to have
summer,
you back.
everyone. Happy summer.
Yes, happy
Woo!
summer. Thank
Best of
you.
luck at the wedding. We hope everything is beautiful and
Yes.
perfect weather. Perfect
Yes.
weather.
Absolutely.
So far, they have that early forecast, and so far, so good. But let's just
Manifesting.
going to be
Manifesting all
great.
good things. Yes.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank
We'll
you. We'll
talk
talk to you
soon.
soon.
Bye.
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 I freaking love her, adore her.
Oh my gosh, so much fun. I love her so much. That was so much fun.
I, yeah,
And
like,
I completely forgot about the adaptation. Like I had seen it on
yeah.
Instagram and I was like, "Oh, I need to write this down and talk about it." And then I forgot. But then she brought it up
Yeah.
and I'm like, "That's so cool."
I don't know much of my New York family, but I like low key like hope that like somehow she's like my New York family because I don't have a lot of those.
That'd be cool.
I
That'd
don't
be
know.
very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so fun.
Awesome.
Seriously,
Jane L. Rosen, everybody.
I loved this series. Like, it's so fun. I like the cast of characters. They're just so good. Just so good. So,
Yeah.
I love a good fan family.
For sure.
Okay, I think
All
it's time
right.
for an announcement.
Let's make an
Yay.
announcement.
Okay. So next week we are talking to Mima Tipper about Cats Creek Summer. This is so cute. I'm so
This is
excited.
such a cute cover.
It's such a cute cover, and I'm so
So,
excited to read.
so cute.
Like, I the
I
details,
know.
the details.
I know.
I'm very
I
excited.
know.
It's gonna be fun. I can't wait. I do also want to mention a thing that I found out yesterday is that Zando is putting on a writing contest. They have an anthology
Oh,
coming
yeah.
up being published by Ayesha freaking Curry's imprint. First of all, that is swoony enough on its own. I'm a Bay Area girly. Ayesha is an icon. So they're publishing an anthology of BIPOC romanticy, YA romanticy, and they are running a contest for unpublished, unagented authors, BIPOC authors, to submit their own YA romantasy short story to be featured in the anthology. So, yes, I
It's
have been
gonna be
writing.
Karen.
We're hoping. I've
Manifest
been
it. It's gonna
writing
be Karen.
this. I was like, I saw that and I'm like, guys, I don't write YA and I don't write romantasy, but I'm writing
You gotta
YA
start.
romantasy right now.
Yep. Time to start.
So yeah, and I'm really excited about it. I was talking to our friend Casey yesterday, and I was sending her all these ideas, and she is like the best sounding board because I throw
Yeah.
ideas at her, and she's like, okay, but this and this and this, and I'm like, wait, that makes it so much better. Like,
Yeah.
I love her.
That's how I am with Finn.
Yeah.
He can just like throw something out there that it's like you just saved everything.
Listen,
You just solved it all.
this is the perfect example of why the gays are the best.
The best.
Queer people are so smart, so
I know.
creative.
I know.
Like,
100%.
I'm just like, why do we not have more from y'all?
I know.
So yeah, I'm excited. I
I'm excited for you.
maybe once I finish my first draft, I will tell y'all what I'm writing about.
I've read some of it and it's good.
I'm excited. It's 2,000 to 4,500 words, and I've written like 500 words, and I'm like, well, that's 20% of the minimum
Yeah,
amount, so we're
exactly.
getting
That's not
there.
small.
And I have a little under a month because the deadline is June 5th, so.
Okay.
And Vanessa Montalban, our friend Vanessa Montalban, is one of the authors, as well as Angel Montoya. And I messaged them both. I'm like, if you think I'm not sending you my draft to read and help me to make
Yeah.
this work,
Yeah.
please.
Please
So
help.
I'm really excited. I'm really excited about the story. So we'll see how it goes. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we will.
All
Right.
right.
Let's do a spiel.
Let's do a spiel. Every time I pick up my water bottle, I'm like, let me drink. And then I'm like, wait, no, we're doing something else. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. Visit
All
our
the things.
website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog. Subscribe to our Patreon for early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, and bonus contents. Head over to our merch store, theincoherentfangirl.com/shop, to get some cute merch designed by Mandy.
That's me,
That's her.
Mandio.
If you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that we're pretty, we will accept all of that in our
We'll take
inbox.
it.
TheIncoherentFangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. And of course, one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please give us words. You
Give
know we love
us
words.
those words.
Pretty please. Thank you. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head over and do some self-care and visit our internet besties. So first stop, you're gonna go to herecomesthenerd.com and use code FANGIRL to get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head over to onceuponabookclub.com. You're going to subscribe. You're going to get some standalone boxes, whatever you want. We have two codes that you can choose from. They do not stack. Okay. So you have to pick one. We love you no matter which one you choose. But you're going to use either code Karen10 or Mandy10 for 10% off. But you have to spell Karen right or we're going to sell you to a Spanish family.
Yes.
And it's a mean Spanish family, not a nice family. No polenta for you.
There's going to be a lot of chancla
Yes, that is
throwing.
that Spanish?
Yeah, chancla.
Spain.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought chanclas were like Hispanic.
Well, chancla is the word for like sandal, right? So
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I took a semester of Spanish and it was the hardest language I've ever learned, which is
I was
insane.
thinking like European Spanish, but we'll go with it.
I mean, I feel like I've seen it on like a clip of a telenovela or something where somebody's like
The telenovela is Hispanic. We're thinking too far into
where we're d digging too far into this. At the
this.
end of the day, all you need to know is that you need to spell my name right. Please and thank you.
Spell her name right, or we're gonna send you to a Hungarian family. Better watch out. Lots of good food in your future.
And next up, you're going to visit our friend Amber D. Lewis at amberdlewis.com. Add 10 of everything to your cart, then use code FANGIRL10 so you get 10% off the 10 of everything, which means mathematically, you've gotten one of everything for free.
Free
Yay!
stuff. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And last but not least, you're going to go support the show husband. So you're going to follow at Searchers Believe on all of the things. That's the paranormal investigation group. You're going to follow at Searchers Podcasts on all the things. We're trying to get it revived and edited now. And we're trying to find an editing, I mean, a filming space for their podcast. And I'm like, you live in the most aesthetic haunted mansion house in the world.
Right.
Okay,
Come
so
on.
like you could just record in our living room. It's beautiful. We'll see. And last but not least, you're gonna go follow at Stream Beacon TV on all of the things, and then you're gonna go to streambeacontv.com and subscribe. If you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off your subscription to this new streaming platform that is paranormal, horror, true crime content. He's been editing this weekend while we've been sick. Some really good looking things coming. And then also, I forgot to mention, if you go to searchersbelieve.com/shop and use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off of merch designed by moi. So support the show, husband. He kept me alive this week by door dashing, so I didn't have to cook. And then
Yay.
he would be like, we got food. And he would be like, all right, now pick yourself out some cookies. I'm getting insomnia cookies too.
Love it.
Okay.
He's a keeper.
Right. That
That
was
was the
the
Incoherent
Incoherent
Fangirl.
Fangirl.
Thanks for
We love
listening.
you.
I
Thank
love you.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at HereComesTheNerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.